Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, 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 everybody. I am Randy Dean. This is the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love because I believe all lesser values than love easily slide into the rabbit hole of BS. We are either living love or we're seeking on some level to BS people into other matters, and especially as it comes to the matters of faith, religion, and religious practices. That's going to be the topic of my concern this morning. I don't have a real specific title for that, except to say, again, when we are living less than love, we're living at a lesser value than what I believe the founder of Christianity, who is Jesus Christ, what his founding principle was going to be for his church, and that is one word, love. And yes, there are a lot of things you can extrapolate from that and you can manage around from that, but it all comes back to the root of love. So we're gonna talk about how this all plays out and the modern expression of churches in particular. It can apply to synagogues and mosques and other religious expressions, but my home, spiritual hometown, that is Christianity. So I feel like I've got a specific responsibility to keep speaking back into my own tribe of people, pastor of 50 years plus. And so I think I've got a few things in my toolbox that I can draw from. Now, in order to get there and to keep me on a straight and narrow, straightforward path, I like to do a couple of things here. And first is to pray the Lord's Prayer. And then I want to lead you in Love's Creed, a little creed that I wrote that I offer to you. All right? The Lord's Prayer is a small paragraph, but it is loaded with exponential truth. Here again, I wonder where did we go with a whole lot of other prayer schools and prayer ideas and meditation things that don't really come right back to this taproot, this foundation of what Jesus taught us to pray. The disciples said, Jesus, teach us to pray. And here it is. I'm going to lead you in his prayer. Most prayed prayer in human history. And not to be repeated with vain emptiness, but with a sense of depth and comprehension. When we say it repeatedly, that's okay. But if we say it without attentiveness, that's the rub. And that's what Jesus said, avoid this. So if you know it, pray with me. If you don't, listen in. Tune in to the deep wisdom of God in the voice of Jesus when he taught us to say these words in prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Right there is a solid place to stand when you pray. Now, let me offer something else to you as a practical tool in learning how to be a person of love. Practical, practiced love to process your life in the strength and the beauty of love. And it's a creed I wrote many years ago, and it's been edited down to this final product. Maybe I'll edit it again another time, but right now this seemed to be very handy and useful for me. Here it is in total. Then I'll ask you to go back with me, and I'd like to ask you to repeat after me. Okay? Here it is. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Okay? If you'd like to get that into your own vocabulary and your own thinking, repeat after me. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Now, if you'd like a copy of that, send me an email at randydeanministries@gmail.com. I'll be happy to send you a copy. That's all lowercase, all one word, randydeanministries@gmail. And it'd be my pleasure and my delight to send you a copy. Well, today, I have an unusual notion about what I need to share with you. And I hope that this will relate to anybody and everybody who's listening, whatever time of the day it is, whatever circumstance you find yourself in listening to this podcast. I hope it'll relate to everybody, but I'm pretty focused today on the need for my home home for spirituality, and that is Christianity, the church. Spent, like I said earlier, 50 years as a pastor, undergraduate work and postgraduate work, and learning how to be a solid and productive pastor. Theology has been a love of mine throughout all those 50 years plus. So to that end, and because I've pastored in Wisconsin, Ohio, and Texas, in a variety of different circumstances, large and small places, founded a church once in Austin, Texas, my passion has always been to pastor the church. Now, over the past 8 years or so, I've transitioned. I don't like the word retirement, but it's the best thing that I can give people to understand what I've done. And first of 2019, my wife and I, quote unquote, retired. Well, we continue to do things like this, the No BS Bishop podcast and radio broadcast, and other projects, especially to people I call spiritual refugees who have fled the brick and mortar of the church here in the United States of America. And because they have walked away, and this is an shrinkage of the church here in the United States, because they've walked away, the church has been faced with a significant need for introspection in a healthy way, to do a fearless and searching moral inventory of what we are, what we're doing, how we do it, why we do it, and how do we move forward as a people of faith in Christianity here in the United States? How do we move forward towards something that's going to be useful and definitively profoundly spiritual and spiritually awakening and dynamic for people? What will we do? Now, I've heard a lot of answers, and I've participated in a lot of those answers. And in my 50 years of pastoring, I spent half of that summertime, one or two youth camps every summer, preaching my heart out every night for those 20, 25 years and a couple of different youth camps, and leading young people in worship and in discipleship, and coming to a point where they make a decision to follow Christ in their life. And I cherished those memories. They're great and wonderful memories for me. However, I see myself now as a senior in the body of Christ and in the church, with, I feel like, as a word for now, and a word, as I've said here many times, that I'm going to finish the rest of my life speaking out this word, and it's one word, love. You probably guessed it. Now, what concerns me is a quote that I found just this week from a prolific author by the name of Dallas Willard. If you don't know who he is, you can look him up online. He wrote a book called The Divine Conspiracy, which is truly a revolutionary book. I think Divine Conspiracy has been out for 25, maybe 30 years. Profound. And Dallas flips a lot of spiritual tables in that book and calls us to an account for how we've misrepresented the genuine faith in American Christianity. But here's a quote from Dallas that has captivated me, especially here in the past few weeks. Here it is. It is remarkable how little doctrine relates to love. I read a lot of doctrinal statements by this or that organization. They rarely say anything about love. It would seem that love has nothing essentially to do with doctrine or correct teachings, nor doctrine with love. And one also notes, listen to this carefully now, one also notes how little is done in practice to help professors of Christianity, even faithful church members, become genuinely loving persons. We do not in any effectual way make love our aim. Bang, zoom, to the moon, Dallas Willard. We have not in any effectual way made love our aim. This is what Randy Dean's been saying now for over a decade anyway, and in particular in the last, since 2019 to 2026 now, I'm hammering away at this structure that I'm calling love, and that all lesser values than love easily devolve into BS. I think in a less eloquent way, I'm saying, as the architects and the theologians and the doctrinaires of Christianity have worked over what we are and what we do and how we do it and what we believe and what are our fundamentals of faith and all of the structures and strictures that we have to teach and to share with people to make sure that our church is biblical, your church is not biblical. I'm oversimplifying that. But as we've gone along here, it seems very clear to me Dallas Willard is absolutely stunningly mic dropping right. We have not in any way made love a practical aim, a practice that we pass along to those who teach doctrine and theology, to those who are to profess it as serious followers of Christ. And in our churches, we have not made love the one thing that we're here to work toward. We're the one thing that we're not going to just say we love the world the way God loves the world. That's okay. Great place to start. But that's kindergarten. We need to move on to some PhD research and study. My last podcast, this was my statement of purpose. All we really need is a revolution of love, a tenacious and exuberant grasping for love, laying down our swords of politics and the foolish determination to be right at the expense of all others. Investing our intellect, I want you to hear that, the way we think and reason, investing our intellect, our passions, and our research into what love is, what love does, what love speaks, what love plans, what love purposes to be and do, and that for which love will lay down its life. Love is the only way up and out, not just love hoped for, but love done. First John, the little epistle of First John is encapsulated in one of its verses. He who dwells in love dwells in God. Jesus made it clear that if we keep the commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, he said, this is where all the law and the prophets are hanging. This is the one coat hanger for all of the law and prophets. And Jesus said, and by this they will know you are my disciples, you are my students, you have followed me, if you have love for one another. Jesus prayed in John 17, Father, that you would love them as you have loved me, and that the love that dwells in me and in you would dwell in them. This is an all-consuming furnace of love, the great boiling cauldron of the love of God, and how the love of God encapsulates and manages all other theological and doctrinal concerns. So that, as I started here earlier, and I shared with you, maybe some of you tune out when I do the statistics of 40 to 45 million people here in the United States of America who have left the structures, the brick and mortar of church over the past 26 years, and they're continuing to leave. Some of that has slowed down in some corners, and other places it has sped up. But the reality is the church here in the United States is slowly but surely vanishing. We're being blindsided by a tortoise. It's been slowly walking up on us, and it's blindsiding us because we're slow to adjust or to change almost anything, up to and including our pews and our furniture, much less a profound, foundational, actionable purpose for who we are and why we exist, and that is love. Quite honestly, we've traded love in for political endorsements. We've traded in love for our doctrinal positions to prove other places wrong. Our church is right. We're the right ones. Our other churches are wrong. We are the right ones. And other churches just don't get it like we get it because we get it profoundly. Let me take a little chase a small rabbit for a moment here. Almost all of my 50 years of pastoring, I always sought to make sure that I was unified with other churches in and around me, even if they didn't want to be unified with me. And I've had a few of those. But I have found that most pastors and churches need to understand that when Jesus prayed the prayer, "Father, make them one as you and I are one." I know that prayer seems almost devotional, but it's construction for what I believe the church can and should be. So I always sought to be as one with other churches, even if I had significant doctrinal differences. I wanted to be one with the body of Christ. All right, now back to the subject for today, and that is that love is the one thing that is the mattering of what churches can be. And I don't mean just Catholic or Lutheran or Protestant or Catholic or Orthodox. I mean the church, that any organization that is calling itself a purposed place of following Christ. To that end, in a purposed place of following Christ, may love be the motto. May love be the doctrine that establishes us. May love be the theological purpose that we promote and teach and share and herald. And may love create the actionable relationships in our churches, actionable priorities, actionable vision for the world around us. That if God so loved the world, now how do we follow God in so loving the world? A few weeks ago I talked about, I love the world. And I know we're taught, don't be getting involved with the world because the world is spooky and scary and dark. Well, world systems are spooky and scary and dark, but the world, I mean like the planet, the world, the nations, the peoples, the tribes, all of those, that gathering of humanity, that's the world that God says he so loved. And now, as people of faith who follow Christ, love is, as I said, to be the actionable work of how we function. Let me read from Dallas Willard one more time here. Dallas Willard, a prolific author and teacher of the past, about the same amount of time I've been at it, and as a leader in Christianity, about 50 years, he said this: "It is remarkable how little doctrine relates to love. I read a lot of doctrinal statements by this or that organization They rarely say anything about love. It would seem that love has nothing essentially to do with doctrine or correct teachings, nor doctrine with love. And one also notes how little is done in practice to help professors of Christianity, even faithful church members, become genuinely loving persons. We do not, in any effectual way, make love our aim. I know how often, as a pastor, for right or for wrong, I sought to establish some kind of discipleship class. Used to carry on Sunday mornings before I'd get up to preach for Sunday morning in the worship service. And I had the pastor's Sunday school class, and I taught on a lot of different subjects. And I know I taught on love during those times as the teacher of our adult group and in church. And I know I'd made some aim to do that, but looking back now, I know I didn't do everything I could have possibly done to teach love in an actionable, practical way. And so today, this is why I'm spending the rest of my days on this venue, in this method of knocking on doors, spiritually speaking, existentially knocking on your door and saying, could we find a way to hit pause on all the rest of our pursuits? Haven't we done a pretty good job on building doctrines and theological statements of this or that? And I don't want to start listing them all because there are so many. And would it not be a genuinely revolutionary thing? Like I said, all we really need is a revolution of love. Wouldn't it be a revolutionary thing for some sizable representation of the Church of Jesus during this time of political cold war here in the United States, and during this time of brandishing political statements? Wouldn't it be a marvelous thing to hit the pause button and call a peace timeout? Time out, church. Let's go discover love. Let's discover the actionable means by which we can be loving people, practically, daily, vocationally, by neighbor, how to love my neighbor as I love myself, how to love my enemies. What does that demand of my psychological well-being? Loving my enemies, what is that demanding of my view of the big wide world around me? I've mused here a few times. I'm going to muse one more time with you and say, wouldn't it be delightful if church websites said, we have a statement of purpose that is rather simple, but it is not simplistic, nor is it ever to go away. And that is this: we have one word for our statement of purpose. Love. So if you click through a church website and you went from information and ask your questions, a Q&A about this church, and if you everywhere you went, every screen that would come up would just be in big bold letters, L-O-V-E, love. This is our determination. We're shrinking into nothing. And so rather than continuing to do the same thing over and over again, which is the definition of insanity, we have chosen to stop all of our efforts in other places and means, and we're going to hold our doctrine and our theological statements in an archive. We're not burning it up. We're not throwing it out into the ocean of forgetfulness. But we are sustaining, we're going to sustain the rest of our days learning this one thing that Jesus said was the one thing. And we're going to do this one thing, and we're going to find out what this one thing is all about as we practice how to be people that call ourselves the church. And here is that one thing: love. How do we answer the questions of our culture around us? How do we answer the questions of people that we don't associate with, and they don't associate with us, obviously, because as we have eschewed them and estranged large portions of our population, of course they're not going to be interested in coming to us. It's interesting to me, church, to say, we don't believe that this and this and this and this and this are allowed in the Bible. Well, it's no wonder then people who are part of those things that we have wagged our finger at, it's no wonder they don't come blasting into our doors. They don't want any more of our shame and our rejection. But I'm serious when I say all we really need is a revolution of love. A tenacious and exuberant grasping for love to lay down our swords of doctrinal purity and political, God help us, political endorsements and the foolish determination to always be right at the expense of all others. A revolution investing our intellect, our passions, our research into what love is, what love does, what love speaks, what love plans, purposes, and that for which love will lay down its life. Love is the only way up and out. Not just loved hoped for, but loved done. He who dwells in love dwells in God. That's a tall order. And it would be a tall order for us to say everything else is on pause until we figure this out. All right. Here's a practical means for today. As we figure this out, I want you to get comfortable, set up as straight as you can, and take a deep breath on the count of three. One, two, three. Inhale. Hold it. Exhale. Now that one breath in itself is not all that I'm trying to get you to do. I'm inviting you to practice that over time through every day of your life, to breathe deeply. I believe that good breath creates good meditation spaces for us to live in. And make your meditation one word, love. And why should we make that meditation one word? Because I believe the biggest mistake we make is thinking we still have time. Be present, be kind, love more, love now. Mother Teresa said once, go into the world today and love the people you meet. Let your presence light new light in the hearts of others. And now Randy Dean is telling you that there's a practice to do that, and that is to learn how to look people in the eye and to slow down the three most intense, profound, disturbing, surprising, enlightening words in the human language. I love you. And you know, if somebody were to fight back and say, you don't love me, you hardly know me, your answer could be, and yet I will live to love you. I will find ways and purpose and means, and if necessary, how to lay down my life to show you that I love you. You see, I'm with Dallas Willard on this. We are overdue to discover genuinely doctrinal statements, genuinely theological purposes that make love our aim, to make love our target, to make love the highest value upon which we will conduct ourselves as followers of Christ. So that we will be done with all lesser foolish things, to be done with all lesser things of sustaining our budgets and our pews and our buildings, sustaining our denominational ideas and ideals, sustaining the us versus them, and I don't mean them meaning the people outside our churches, but them meaning the people in other churches that we need to put down and be better than and greater than. I even know churches that will warn about other churches saying, you can't go there because they, and then you fill in the blank. Let's be done with lesser things. And all lesser things than love are BS. Join me, would you please, in a tenacious, exuberant revolution of the power of love. I'm Bishop Randy Dean, and I'm so glad you gave me a half an hour of your life and time. Now go out there and do something beautiful, because ugly has been done to death. It's time to rise and shine with love. I love you. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.